WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Back home, the B-2 bombers that U.S. officials say hit three nuclear sites in Iran, returning to Missouri's Whiteman Air Force Base this afternoon. The final order to attack three Iranian nuke sites was given by President Trump to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth yesterday, according to a senior administration official. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
According to U.S. officials, we're learning that U.S. officials and Turkish officials were trying to organize a meeting with the Iranians, but that fell through because the supreme leader went into hiding and could not be reached to give the green light.
Reaction in Congress to President Trump's decision to attack Iran is mixed. Republican leaders are solidly behind him. Other Republicans are not. Leaders of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom stressing diplomatic solutions. Reaction by Mideast governments is nervous. Oman, the country that mediated U.S.-Iran talks, condemns the attacks. This is ABC News. Yet another way crooks try to part you from your dough. ABC's Alex Prochet.
We've tracked warnings about jury duty scams on court sites in all 50 states.
I have a legal matter here that requires your media attention.
Including Ohio.
Give me a call back as soon as you get this message.
Just last month, someone claiming to be a sergeant with the Franklin County Sheriff's Department told me that I had missed jury duty.
He said that I needed to pay a citation or a warrant would be issued for my arrest. And that's when I hung up and called the sheriff's department and also the district court. And both of them told me that that was a scam.
Advising against hotel bookings, locking you into a rate for your summer getaway, Going.com travel expert Katie Nastro.
There can be some flexibility in the prices, so you want to make sure that you're not locking anything in, because if something does drop in price, say you see a hotel in the neighborhood that you booked in already, you want to be able to cancel that room rate and then rebook that lower price.
She says airfares are down. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shelley Pittman. Efforts to make communities across Wisconsin more livable will soon be underway in 8 communities across the state. Past initiatives of the AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge Funds have helped to change citywide policies. For more, here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
11 grantees collectively received more than $100,000 in funds to implement quick action projects this year through AARP Wisconsin's Community Challenge. Jennifer Stefani with Creative Downtown Appleton Incorporated is a past recipient and used the funds to install a seasonal parklet or mobile patio in an area that lacked these amenities. She says the aluminum parklet is handicap accessible, includes 3 tables and 6 chairs with planters and herbs for public use.
So it's rosemary and basil, and we had some kale in there. We take care of watering it throughout the summer, and residents can just come down and pick the fresh herbs.
Stefani worked with the city of Appleton to develop a citywide policy for parklets. She says the grant funds were instrumental given the funding constraints that organizations like hers face. Darren Wozniewski with AARP Wisconsin notes the funds are designed to improve quality and accessibility for residents of all ages and abilities. He says these projects often spark community interest in similar initiatives to meet local needs.
Not all of our grantees need to go on and change city policy, but it's always great when they can be used as that catalyst to have these public discussions about, is there something that we can change to make the community livable for all?
Some of this year's AARP-funded projects include handicap accessibility improvements, home repairs for seniors, digital access and literacy expansion, and housing alternatives. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Heat advisory in effect until late Monday. We'll see plenty of sunshine today, highs in the mid-90s. That could challenge record highs for today. Our heat index near 105, gusty southwest winds. Upper 70s and mostly clear tonight. More heat Monday. Right now, it's 91.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and it is June. It's Dairy Month. It's Men's Health Month. It's National Accordion Month. Todd, do you play the accordion?
I do not. My mom did.
Are you kidding me?
Is that what you were going to talk to me about? My mom? I felt so bad for her. You know, it's tough growing up and being a child, and then your parents make you play accordion, but apparently she was really good.
I heard that Weird Al Yankovic had the choice between guitar and accordion, and I can't remember why he chose accordion, but the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's a whole month dedicated to that.
I'll give it a bell. How's that sound?
Thanks. But it's also Pride Month, which as I'm looking out the window of the studio, I see a Pride flag flying in front of Schreiber Foods, and I'm thinking about the Pride flag that we raised in Green Bay. And the one that I just drove by on my way to the studio and just how important it is. And I was at the state capitol earlier this week and there's a pride flag there as well. And it just reminds me that representation matters. We did an episode a couple weeks ago with Dana Johnson, who's the president of Fox Valley Pride, and Mel Davis of the Rainbow Alliance Advocacy, where we unpacked the acronym LGBTQ. It's a lot of letters. It's hard for people. It's confusing. So we talked about that. We talked about pronouns. We talked about pride celebrations across Northeast Wisconsin. Lots of the advocacy stuff, the soft stuff. But today we're going to do something a little bit different. It's Pride Part 2, but we're going to talk about policy. And joining me today, I'm really excited. I've got some radio rookies. I've got State Representative Ryan Spouty. Ryan represents Assembly District 89. I keep mixing it up, though, because with the new maps, it's flipped.
Good morning. Happy Pride, Kristen.
You have such a good voice for this, Ryan. Happy Pride, baby. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
And also joining us, we've got, am I the first person to actually say this out loud? State Senate candidate Sean Grorich, who is running for Senate District 1. Sean, welcome. Happy Pride. So exciting. So this is, you own a coffee shop in Sturgeon Bay. So this is what our conversation is. We're just having a coffee, sitting around a table, yeah, just chatting about Pride. Why is it such a big deal? You know, when you think about the flags and all the conversations, why, from your perspective, is Pride so important? Ryan.
Oh gosh, here we go.
Uh huh. I think it's different for everybody. You know, we all have different perspectives, which is what this show is about. We're having a conversation.
I think if we were having this conversation a year ago, I would talk a lot about how representation is important and how we are making progress and how, you know, progress can be slow, but it never stops. Fast forward to today, mm-hmm. and I would say Pride, celebrating Pride month of June is important because we are facing an onslaught of hate and attacks still in Year of Our Lord 2025, mm-hmm. With new leadership in Washington, D.C., the masks come off again, and you get a lot of hate directed at members of our community, especially our LGBTQ plus kids. We can come back to that, but I just, more than anything, it feels like a very bad cliche. It's about the children. I do think right now, June 2025, it's about holding the gains we've made, protecting the ones who are most vulnerable, especially our LGBTQ plus kids.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the kids. And we heard Governor Evers say, this is the year of the kids. That was his declaration. And it affects all of us. I mean, polling has shown that 8%-ish of our population belongs to the community, but really people think it's up to 30% just because it's probably a lot higher.
It's very underreported.
Yeah. Talk to me, Sean. Why is it important to you?
Just for myself, not realizing or accepting that I was gay until well into my 20s. So for some people that's early, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. But, you know, now you see people come out earlier and earlier because it's safer, because we've had some progress, which, you know, like Ryan addressed, that is trying to be, some of that's trying to be reversed at our current political level. Mm-hmm. But for myself, you know, having, you know, I remember the struggles or the comments, you know, when I was in service, you know, the negative comments. And even after service, you know, and I had come out to myself, but not to everybody in my surroundings, you know, those comments that you hear hurt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you find a place where you know you can be yourself, even I just reposted something on one of the socials where it showed a little clip of how people were very nervous because somebody you thought might not be a safe person to be around. And then all of a sudden you see a wristband with pride colors on.
A symbol.
It's just a simple symbol,
yes.
Whether it's a pin, a pride, a lanyard, something that confirms that you're in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
We put stickers on our window when we were out in Seattle. I mean, you see it everywhere where all the stores have pride flag stickers or some type of you're safe here type sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And that comforts you. And when you talk to people that go to other cities and you see that symbol, you feel safe. You know that you can be yourself. You don't have to be on high alert all the time. Because although it has gotten better from 20 years ago, 30 years ago plus,
mm-hmm.
it's still around. Like you still have to be on alert. You still have a watch over your shoulder or watch your back.
Oh, for
thing.
Sure.
So knowing that it's, you know, that symbolism is there for a reason.
It is. I wore a tiny little sticker on my badge when I'm at work as a doctor. And it's amazing how people will look at that and automatically you'll just like see the relief in their face.
And it's not just for the individuals that are, identify in the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's parents of kids that have kids that, you know, they thank you for being supportive of that. So it's for the parents, for relatives, friends that know people as well, because then they know you're safe as well.
Yeah, it's a level of trust.
Yeah.
You mentioned, we should back up for just a second, because you mentioned when you were in service. So you are a veteran. You served active and reserves.
Correct. Yep. Four years active in law enforcement and 5 years reserve in medical service specialist.
Yes.
Yes.
You have a very interesting coming out story that involves the military. Would you be comfortable sharing that? Here you are talking into a microphone, telling your most personal stories.
So, like I said, I didn't really come out even to myself, like at the time, because of the high school rhetoric. You know, you hear the comments, like all of the things that you hear in the playground.
You grew up in a small town in central Wisconsin.
Very
so it's not like
town,
you're in Milwaukee.
700 people. So yeah, not a big city at all. Very conservative. So I, you know, having gone into service, got stationed at my first base. It was a remote base. So it's very isolated. Probably feeling homesick, being away from home for the first time for over a year, even having gone through basic training and all the training afterwards. But, you know, I was starting to sort of realize my feelings and, you know, was feeling like it was wrong because that's what the church had, taught and what mm-hmm. the people around me had said, you know, and so I wanted help. And the only person being the rope moat base that we were was the pastor on the base. So, you know, he's the counselor for the base. So I went to him and was having a discussion, and I think he realized where I was going with the conversation and my struggles, and told me in very no uncertain terms that should I say something, that I would be dishonorably discharged, which has consequences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I basically squashed those feelings back down, and then never really let them out, got out of active duty and went into the reserves. Now we're past Reagan era, Bush era. Now we're into the Clinton don't ask, don't tell, which was just as bad. I know he had good ideas or, you know,
good intentions.
Mm-hmm. But that actually ended up kicking out more people than prior to it, because people just kept quiet. But now they were like, oh, well, don't ask, but don't tell, mm-hmm. you know, and people told. And then they're dishonorably discharged. Well, that has consequences in the civilian side of things. Mm-hmm. Once you're out.
So you had to protect yourself, but you also had to be yourself.
But trying to be myself, but I didn't until after I got out of the reserves.
Yeah. Oh, that's so tricky. Try to navigate that pathway. That's the voice of Sean Grorich. He is candidate for Wisconsin Senate Assembly or Senate District 1. Ryan, how about your perspective?
Oh, sure. I mean, I came out of my 20s as well. My journey. I mean, born, raised Little Suamico, so that's Oconee County.
Small town.
Small
pretty
town.
Rural. Yeah. Pretty conservative.
Yeah. I think the default setting is you're straight, yeah. Christian conservative in Little Suamico. That's the default setting, I like to say. Mm-hmm. I grew up public schools, went to East Coast for college, worked in the D.C. area, Washington, D.C. for a few years, came back, went to law school, realized how much law can be used to lift people up or push them down. Mm-hmm. And I came out during that time, took a little break from politics for a bit. Was a Republican for many, 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 many years.
Oh, I definitely have questions about that later on. You're like, oh, geez. Yeah.
And me coming out, I kind of think of there's different parts of the equation. That mm-hmm. was a big one.
Yeah.
Donald Trump becoming the standard bearer for the Republicans and January 6th, not to put too fine of a point on it, but like those things coming out, January 6th, the fallout, I just realized, oh God, like I'm going to get reengaged in politics. I'm a Democrat now, and I'm going to use my voice to advance. I mean, when I think about my district, it's the west side of Green Bay and Ashwaubenon. There's a lot of people like me, mm-hmm. Former Republicans. What did Mayor Pete say when he was running 2020? Future former Republicans.
Future former Republicans. I love that.
I'm glad my brain finally, that train finally reached that station, because when I remember when I heard that expression from him for the first time in 2020, I did the, oh, you know what? I bet that's going to be me. And it was. So it was a really nice exit ramp 2020 for me, thereabouts. Yeah, ran for office.
And now you are kind of the Mayor Pete, or one of the Mayor Petes here in Wisconsin.
I was going to say, always tease Mayor Ryan Sorensen in Sheboygan. If anyone had to be the Wisconsin version, it would be him. But
yeah. We have had Mayor Sorensen on the show, and he is definitely that guy. He is, yeah, he's wonderful and doing great work in the Malibu of the Midwest.
Yes.
How, in the minute that we have left, how, as you've evolved, has that changed your perspective on society and the place that you grew up?
It's a really good question. It's still home, mm-hmm. and I still have family there.
Yeah.
I guess it's a really good question. I haven't ever really thought about that. Yeah. We'll come back.
We'll come back for that. All right, friends. Well, when we do come back, we have to take a short break now, but we're going to talk about the LGBTQ caucus, which used to have 6 members, but now it's 12. It has doubled since the last cycle. And 4 out of 5 of the legislators in Northeast Wisconsin are part of it. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
We started getting shot at, so we're running and shooting and diving into the ditches and getting up and running some more. We get to the bodies and it dawns on me. How in the hell are we supposed to carry them back? The captain says, "Give me your rifles." So we picked them up and started carrying them back. We were scared out of our minds. They were still shooting at us. How they missed, I do not know. They must have thought we were nuts. We got about a quarter mile back and somebody had decided, to hell with it. Let's go back there and get the truck and pick them up. That was a bad day. I was so scared going back there and trying to carry them. I couldn't even think about what was going on. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this full story at WGBW.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com. Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you think you know the story behind Summerfest, you may be surprised to learn this. Summerfest didn't start on Milwaukee's lakeshore. Opening to the booms from an air show, the nine-day event in July of 1968 also included car races, soccer matches, and of course, music of all sorts. It was held at more than 35 different locations across the city. Research shows the first several years didn't make money, but rather than give up, organizers moved everything to what had been a 15-acre Cold War missile site and airport along Lake Michigan. This big decision to find a permanent site in the 1970s grew to what's known as the Big Gig, and now runs the next three weekends, noon to midnight. More history and information right here next week, and event details at summerfest.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley talking the policy of pride with State Representative Ryan Spouty and candidate for State Senate. That sounds so good, Sean Grorich.
Thank you.
But before we get back to our discussion, I want to point out that our music is by Traveling Suitcase today. They are a band out of Oshkosh. Sean, I'm saying this for you so that you can put it in your mind, because you are not the guy. You're the one who remembers the sound, the visual, but not the name. So Traveling Suitcase out of Oshkosh. They're a blend of like indie funk, blues, rock. They've been around forever. Northeast Wisconsin staple. They love to dance and have fun and spread love. They're going to be at Mile of Music.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. Todd, are you going to see him there?
I don't know, but I did see him at Oshkosh Pride last year. They performed. So that's my first go around with them.
Yeah, they're kind of legendary in the area. So more of them as the show evolves. But for now, it's back to caucus talk.
Yeah.
I came ready for this.
Oh, I'm sure you did. So here in Wisconsin, we have an LGBTQ caucus in our state legislature. That means that we've got a number of members of the legislature who belong to the community. Last cycle, it was 6. This cycle, it's 12. And here in Northeast Wisconsin, we only used to have 2 representatives up here. Now we have 5. 4 of the 5 are members of the LGBTQ caucus. Mm-hmm. This is not your parents' Northeastern Wisconsin anymore, is it?
Mm-hmm. Something in the water.
So what does it mean to be part of the caucus?
Yeah. I mean, let me just start by saying it's exciting how big that caucus has grown.
Yeah.
After this last election cycle. And I'm excited by the potential for it to grow even more.
Yeah.
Next year. Yes. I just want to say that.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
I'm trying to remember back. I think it was like almost a year ago now when we were running.
Uh-huh.
Same cycle.
Yeah, we were.
And I had a really funny one-liner at an event, and it was about, you know, between the gals and the gays, we're going to win this thing or win the majority. And when you think about it.
What was that line? Yeah.
That was it. And then Julie turned into an awesome graphic. I'm going to go back and find that now. I'm just remembering this as we're talking.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you think about it, here in Northeast Wisconsin, we have 5 between the Assembly and the State Senate. We got 5 elected officials in Madison, Four of the five are members of the community. Mm-hmm. Two of the five are women. And you got Jamie Wall. And I remember
State
Kristen.
Senator Jamie Wall. Yeah.
Was it between the gals, the gays, and a few straight men? What was
guys,
the line?
Guys. And a few good men.
Oh, there we go. There, that
a
was
few
it.
Good guys.
There it was. It's just exciting. I mean, when you stop, I haven't thought about it in a while. It is really cool just to think these are the people mm-hmm. that Northeast Wisconsin has sent down to Madison.
Yes.
And you just wouldn't expect any part of the state. I think you look at the Milwaukee area, you look at Madison, they certainly do have members of the LGBTQ community representing them, but not like us. And mm-hmm. it's just, it is really cool. It's really special. I can't think of any other word. It's special.
It's special. I think it reflects the sense of community and belonging and inclusiveness that we want this place to be someplace for everybody, regardless of where you come from. And it doesn't really even have anything. I mean, it has a lot to do with the community, but it has a lot more to do with making sure we have opportunities for education and healthcare and all of those other things that we know we need in order to be able to live healthy, fulfilling lives. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to point out that all 12 members of the LGBTQ caucus are Democrats.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for some Republicans to join us.
There's some out there.
Yeah.
It's just they need to have the courage to and feel comfortable enough.
Yeah.
I don't think they're accepted in their own.
Right? I mean, at some point, you recognize where you belong. Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility, of course. So, I mean, it's so exciting, so special. And it's like the burden's also on us. Like, we know, I said, progress can be slow, but never stops. Like, it is on us. We've been elected. Mm-hmm. We are members of the community. It is on us to really champion these policies that are going to help folks like us and folks who are still coming out, or still in that process all over the state. So
well, hopefully those policies, right? If you make the environment more friendly, you're going to attract more people that are like open and accepting of diversity, you know? So, I mean, having people that are able to influence some of those, you know, the rules, policies, legislation around making the world, our community more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm encouraged to see that. I remember hearing about the caucus when we lived down in Madison area, mm-hmm. and it was so exciting to see like people in politics that are in the community.
Now so much bigger.
Yeah, it's just growing, so it's awesome.
That's the voice of State Senate candidate Sean Grorich, and we also have Representative Ryan Spouty joining us. So what are the, I mean, you mentioned, Sean, that the goal is to create that space so that people know that they can enter that space and grow the community in a very positive and inclusive way. Ryan, when you are meeting, what are your, we're going to talk about the equality agenda in our next segment, but okay. For now, what are the stated goals as you're talking to each other and you're talking and you're envisioning what the future of this could look like? What are you saying to each other?
We are saying it's unfortunate that we have to keep reintroducing some of these bills every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating to have a majority right now in the legislature. Republicans have a majority in both the Assembly and the Senate still. It's frustrating to have a majority that is not allowing these bills to move forward. But it's our job, before we get into the weeds, it's our job to reintroduce these every 2 years,
mm-hmm.
every session, to keep building momentum. So that way, when you're right, it's when, not an if. When we have the opportunity, when we have a majority that's actually going to allow these bills to move forward, it's maybe not day one mm-hmm. of that session of the legislature, but it's hopefully maybe month one, certainly year one. It means we are going to get these things done, and we're not going to be sitting around trying to figure out, what do we put in this bill? How do we edit that? How do we amend that? We are ready to rumble when we have the opportunity. That is what we talk about a lot. You know, it is, these bills are going to become law. I don't know what day it is, but these bills will become law in the state of Wisconsin.
Sean, that's got to make you feel so encouraged as a future member of the legislature.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, baby.
I'll be there to vote.
Well, Representative Spouty, you are working with Senator Dassler-Elfheim and the rest of the caucus. You've got a legislative package collectively known as the 2025 Equality Agenda. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WGBW and WISS and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I was lonely.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Back home, the B-2 bombers that U.S. officials say hit three nuclear sites in Iran, returning to Missouri's Whiteland Air Force Base this afternoon. The final order to attack three Iranian nuke sites was given by President Trump to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth yesterday, according to a senior administration official. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
According to U.S. officials, we're learning that U.S. officials and Turkish officials were trying to organize a meeting with the Iranians, but that fell through because the supreme leader went into hiding and could not be reached to give the green light.
Reaction in Congress to President Trump's decision to attack Iran is mixed. Republican leaders are solidly behind him. Other Republicans are not. Leaders of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom stressing diplomatic solutions. Reaction by Mideast governments is nervous. Oman, the country that mediated U.S.-Iran talks, condemns the attacks. This is ABC News.
Another setback for Garrett Mitchell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? Brewers center fielder Garrett Mitchell injured his shoulder sliding into base Friday night in Nashville. That's the same shoulder he had surgery on. Garrett Mitchell will now have to undergo more testing. The Brewers wrapping up their series in Minnesota against the Twins. Tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Pirates. The Brewers winning a shutout yesterday, 9-0 in Minnesota. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's all predicated on a lot of things falling into place. We don't have any special sauce. We understand how we have to play, and when we do it, we're pretty good.
Girls high school soccer, the Muskego Warriors beat Madison West 3-0 in a shutout in overtime to win the WIAA Division I state title for the fourth year in a row. In Division II, Brookfield Central defeated Pewaukee 2-1. And in Division III, Catholic Memorial over Edgewood 4-2 to win their 12th state championship in program history. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Danny Boyle is back with the release of 28 Years Later, his long-awaited third installment to the 28 Days franchise. In a recent article in Variety, the Slumdog Millionaire Oscar-winning director says, due to cultural appropriation, he probably couldn't direct a film like Slumdog Millionaire nowadays, but says he's okay with that and that he would want a young Indian director to have that opportunity to tell the story. What a cool dude. Boyle's other credits include Trainspotting and 127 Hours. Timothy Oliphant is on a roll. The star of Justified has a new show on Apple TV Plus called Lucky, where he stars opposite Anna Taylor-Joy. But Oliphant wasn't done. He still managed to find room in his calendar to join the cast of another Apple show called Stick, alongside Owen Wilson. The Emmy-nominated Oliphant will next be seen in FX's Alien Earth, which drops in August, and he will join a new Peacock show called Five Star Weekend. Cha-ching. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Heat advisory in effect until late Monday. We'll see plenty of sunshine today. Highs in the mid-90s. That could challenge record highs for today. Our heat index near 105, gusty southwest winds, upper 70s and mostly clear tonight. More heat Monday. Right now, it's 91.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Come.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am joined by my friend, State Representative Ryan Spouty, and my other friend, Sean Grorich. He's running for State Senate. It's so exciting. We spent a little time in our last segment doing caucus talk about the policy of pride. If you missed any of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and of course, streaming on the Civic Media app. That's my favorite way to listen. How do you listen, Ryan?
On the app. Yep.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yep.
Yeah. Sean, how do you listen?
Apps are where it's at.
Apps are where it's at, baby. That's right. Okay, so we talked a lot about pride, your personal stories. We talked a little bit about the LGBTQ caucus. There's been some pretty exciting legislation introduced, and Ryan, you were there. This is your baby.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah. So we, 2 weeks ago now, the LGBTQ plus caucus in the Wisconsin State Legislature, so it's comprised of both members of the State Assembly and the State Senate, we came together, and as we were about to enter the month of June, we figured this was as good a time as any. Dairy Month.
National Accordion Month.
All the months. All the months. And we released, we call it the Equality Agenda. Mm-hmm. We have an agenda.
Yes,
that
you
part
do.
Is true. six bills. Some of them might sound familiar to listeners, like, oh, I feel like we might have heard about that one. Is it just copy paste?
Wait, does this happen? Like, I think a lot of people, including me, think you introduce legislation and then it just goes through the cycle and then it passes or it doesn't pass and boom, we're done. But that's not really how it works in the process.
No. It doesn't pass the first time, it usually comes back. I'm just a bill. Sometimes those bills, they come back. There's a part two, and they're improved, they're strengthened. Eventually, you end up just getting a lot of support, a lot more co-authors, co-sponsors. People are like, I remember this bill. We're going to make it happen this time. So that's what we're doing with all of these bills.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to dive into the weeds now?
Just a little bit? Your face is like, oh, okay, into the weeds.
He's eager.
Fine. Go ahead.
I won't linger on all of them too long, but the very first one, and I put this at the top of the list because I wanted to talk with you about it, Kristen. The very first bill, it eliminates the constitutional amendment that we enacted over a decade ago now, but on the books in the state of Wisconsin, we still have a traditional marriage amendment, and it's defunct. Obergefell has rendered that amendment defunct.
Obergefell is the federal legislation which overrides
federal court
decision. Thank you, lawyer.
All good. All good. But the problem is it's still there. It's still hanging out a lot like we saw with the Dobbs decision. You had on the books in the state of Wisconsin these defunct laws relating to access to reproductive health. And they were just sitting there. Those laws were there. No one ever thought, hey, we should really like go back and clean it up. And then Dobbs happened. And all these defunct laws spring back into actions, back into effect. So the very first, I wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, I think we learned a lot. I'll just say as Democrats put the partisan hat on, we learned from what happened with Dobbs. We got to get our act together. So this very first bill, people say, well, do we need it? Well, right now we look at it, it's like it wouldn't change anyone's lives, but we need this. Yeah. We need to be proactive this time. What are your thoughts, Kristen?
It doesn't change. What are you, the host or something?
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Get back in my place. Yeah. I just know, like, running together. I'm sure you have thoughts.
You know I'm teasing you. No, I do. I definitely do. And I think it is life-changing because of what could happen as you're looking at the chess game of legislation, what's happening in Washington, D.C., and what's happening in Madison. I remember having those conversations about this 1849 criminal abortion ban in Wisconsin, and we would joke about it like, yeah, that'll never come back. It's from 1849. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, it's very much back, and we didn't have access to even fundamental, like, miscarriage management, infertility treatment, all of that stuff left because we just didn't know. I mean, I left. I don't even work in Wisconsin right now because of this bill. So it's been life-changing for me. It's definitely been life-changing for many, many women and families in this state. That would absolutely be the case if we don't repeal this amendment.
Yep. We only want it to be life-changing in a good way, and that is when Wisconsinites all across the state see their legislature doing their job, being proactive and getting this off the books.
Yeah.
So that's the very first one.
Keep us moving forward.
Absolutely.
And this would, once repealed, it would do what?
once repealed. Oh, essentially, kind of like with prohibition in federal constitution, we amended the constitution and then we realized, that wasn't really good. And just, it removes it. Imagine you take the white out. It's gone.
Love that.
Yep. The other ones, we also have a bill to prohibit conversion therapy statewide. There's been many, many, many local governments, municipalities that have taken that step. I think we should do it. There's no reason not to. We should not be having to wait again. Love local control, local government. We should be seeing what is happening across the state, the local level, and asking ourselves, why hasn't it happened at the state level yet? We shouldn't wait. We need to be proactive again. And just moving on.
Wait, before you move on, I'll put on my doctor hat and say that we know that conversion therapy does not work.
Absolutely.
It's junk.
And if anything, it harms more.
It harms, yeah. I should mention, we are talking with Representative Ryan Spouty and Senate candidate Sean Grorich about the policy of Pride. Carry on, Ryan. What else you got?
I was going to say, I realized I got to bring Sean into this a little bit more. I got two more I really want to hit on, and then thoughts, reactions, I guess. Another one, very simple. June is Pride Month. It's Dairy Month, it's Accordion Month, but part of the equality agenda is recognizing, like, in the state of Wisconsin, June is going to be Pride Month. But let's just state the obvious. I don't think even that bill is going to move forward, which is kind of sad.
Again, yeah.
We're halfway through the package. It's like, this is the easy stuff, the low-hanging fruit. I don't know if it's going to happen.
But I think that that also speaks to the state of the legislature and how, really, how many Democrat-introduced bills are even heard. You know, it's so one-sided. Hey, a lot of citizens think that there's this push and pull in government, which is how it should be. You know, there are all these different perspectives, and that should be honored. But that's not the way it's working. And in fact, I would say it's really not working for the people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's frustrating. We don't have the ability to collect signatures and get ballot measures placed directly in front of the voters on their when they vote. You know, other states, you can collect signatures, you can repeal, you can make change at the grassroots level in Wisconsin. You have to wait for your legislature. It has to be two consecutive sessions to amend the Constitution, and then it has to go to the voters. And it's hard by design.
It is.
Slow process.
Yeah, we saw this with the budget process. You know, the governor and legislators traveled the entire state and took days so that people could take a day off of work and spend 2 minutes sharing what they cared about, what they wanted to see in the budget process. The people were telling their leaders what they wanted. And when the governor put the budget together, it was just dashed. So the voice of the people is really being repressed right now in Wisconsin. But we can bring it back.
Absolutely.
We can.
Yeah.
And we will.
Yes. The one last bill I just want to really hit on, personal level, the fourth bill on my list I wanted to talk about, it would repeal the archaic gay or trans panic criminal defense, which is, again, one of those things that's still in the books, criminal law, so not the Constitution. But I remember where I was in law school when I learned about this. This was still a viable defense. The idea being, if you have two individuals, individual A, individual B, if individual A discovers that individual B is gay or trans or something about their identity that they didn't, that person A didn't originally know. And if that is upsetting to person A, it's actually a defense if they commit a crime. If they are adequately provoked, anything about homicides, sexual assaults. And in Wisconsin, we still have on the books, this is a viable defense. You lost control because that person was different than you, that they are gay or trans. That panic defense, there's no basis. Let me just say it's discriminatory, and there's no basis in fact. Members of the LGBTQ community, we are not any more dangerous or harmful or scary than anyone else. And as a criminal prosecutor, then I'll add, I was a prosecutor here in Green Bay for 3 years. We still have cases where we have discussions about, hey, that gay or trans panic criminal defense, maybe that applies here. We still have conversations, again, in Year of Our Lord 2025 about this. It has, again, no factual basis. It's discriminatory. I'm very proud I was the second author on that. that fourth bill. So
this bill means a lot to you.
Oh, it does. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
That is the voice of Representative Ryan Spouty, who has helped to introduce this package of bills, the 2025 Equality Agenda. Also joining me is Senate candidate Sean Grorich. Sean, as you're hearing Ryan talk about these bills, what's going through your mind as somebody who's going to be serving in the legislature? And this is going to come up again when you are serving in the next cycle. Are you just like, you know, chomping at the bit, like, oh, I want to get into this, or I need to know more about this? Or how are you feeling about all of this?
Especially when, like this last one, where I remember hearing news stories of this being brought up and used as a defense for hate crime, basically, mm-hmm. right? So it's not just Wisconsin, it's other states. But, I mean, the fact that it is being used and the fact that you brought up, like, it's still being brought up, in current state, you know, it's out there and people are going to try to use it as a defense, and it's a hate crime. I agree. It needs to get rid of, and, I'm looking forward to helping get some of this agenda pushed forward. I think it makes our community more safe, and more accepting, and that's only going to invite more people to our state. We have a lot of people leaving Wisconsin because multiple reasons, but I think if the community is open and welcoming to a diverse group of people, you're going to see instead of an exit from Wisconsin, more people coming back into Wisconsin.
Feeling welcome.
So, yes.
Yeah. I'd just like to mention the McIver Institute, which is a conservative think tank. Their response to this package of bills was this. It's a quote, "Democrats at the Wisconsin Capitol say President Trump and unspecified attacks are the reason they want to write everything from the state's marriage laws to the word for mother." I found that to be, as an OBGYN doctor who knows they're using this piece in the budget where the governor has changed the language to be more scientifically accurate, but instead they're using it as a culture war tool to divide us and make us feel uncomfortable. And it also made me wonder, unspecified attacks, as members of the community, can you specify some of those attacks? Because I'm sure you can.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we could probably go through just this year, but actually, I'm going to pause. I think I've been talking a lot.
No, go for it.
Pulse nightclub. Like, there are just these very clear attacks in our very recent history where what is the basis? It's not, just happen to be a bunch of members of the LGBTQ community. No, members of our community are being profiled and targeted because of who they are, because of their identity. This is not some great coincidence. And you can point, we once again, I think transgender members of the military, what's the current status? Has Trump by tweet once again said they cannot serve? Like, very clear. This is pretty clear cut.
I mean, they're picking out a smaller sub community within the gay community, just because we've openly been serving for the entire time, but now they're just zeroing in to trying to divide us and use this against us.
The attacks are real.
Yeah.
When we come back, where do we go from here? How can we support this incredible work you're doing, that you will be doing, Sean?
Yes.
How can we get involved? How can we build our community? That and more with Representative Ryan Spouty and State Senate candidate Sean Grorich and me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, on the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, live on WGBW and WISS and streaming on the Civic Media app.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is murder, but we're only killing ourselves. Both good people, anger, broken needles.
This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we have been hanging out with State Representative Ryan Spouty and candidate for State Senate Sean Grorich. The more I say it, the more I like it. Doing some caucus talk, breaking down some new legislation, celebrating pride, all that stuff. The next question is, how can people get involved? There's so much good work that's happening. We're seeing this momentum building, not only in Madison, but especially here in Northeast Wisconsin. How can people help to push this along in this time when I think it's feeling, for many people, they're feeling overwhelmed, uncomfortable. The attacks are real, as you just mentioned. I mean, we're hearing about them in the news. How do we bring people in? Sean, I'll start with you.
I mean, especially given this is Pride Month, there's lots of festival pride parades, you know, all around the state. You don't have to be gay to go to these things.
What? I was
told
the other
just
day
for the gay community,
that the A in the acronym can also stand for ally. I'm part.
Yes.
I'm in there.
I mean, again, sort of like having, you know, as I got more and more comfortable, we lived in Seattle, Washington, and like you go to that gay pride and it's a huge, like 3 hour long parade, and you have all communities going on. I mean, you see families with their kids running around, and they're not a gay family. That's a heterosexual family that is just enjoying the parade and the mm-hmm. festivals. And like, the more you get out and see that, you know, the gay community is not an other, right?
Uh-huh.
Anytime there's somebody that is an other, different than you, then it's harder to connect. But
right.
then when you find out everybody's the same, everybody wants the same thing, you know, happiness in life and things like that. But so yeah, get out, get into some of those activities, talk to people, just realize that it's fun.
Open Door Pride, is that an organization that you are involved with? I've heard wonderful things.
They are doing a great job. Northern Door Pride is a second one up in a little bit further north. So two organizations within Door County.
Ooh.
So
small peninsula, lots of pride.
Lots of pride. We are proud.
Good.
Get out. I think the easiest is communicate, talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not an other. So,
yeah. Ryan, what do you think?
I'm thinking of all the work Sean's doing on the ground, and this is happening everywhere, all across the state. We got 72 counties. This is happening everywhere. I actually want to also lift up, there's an organization, Fair Wisconsin.
Yes.
Premier, I would say, leading advocacy group state level in Wisconsin that advances the causes of equality and justice for members of the LGBTQ plus community. They have been very active these past few months on the ground doing things in everyone's communities, but also when folks introduce bills that hurt our community, they're the ones rallying support. I just want to say again, Fair Wisconsin, they've been very valuable legislative allies, allies both figuratively and literally.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these committee hearings where we are flooding the zone in a good way. We are bringing folks from all across the state, members of our community, who are going to be negatively impacted by these harmful bills. They're showing up in Madison. They are also calling, emailing.
Yes, that makes a difference.
Yep.
I mean, you're a representative. You get those calls.
Yep.
Is that impactful?
Absolutely. I mean, we notice, and any legislator worth their salt is going to keep track of how many folks have weighed in favor or in opposition. I am keeping track, and I will just say, your legislator may ultimately not vote the way you want them to, but they're hearing, and their ears are open, eyes are open. Get involved, whether it's a group that is hyper-local, one at the state level, and I will just say, lift up, finally, there are national organizations. I'm thinking about LGBTQ Victory Fund.
Oh, yeah.
You really want to get involved. You're ready to take the next step, take the plunge like Sean has. Run for office.
Yes.
That is an important piece of the puzzle.
And Victory Fund is an organization that supports LGBTQ candidates running for office at all levels.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so excited, Sean.
Maybe why we have 4 out of 5 up here.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Did you happen to see the testimony that Larry gave?
Oh, I sure did.
So Larry was a fellow who was brought in to testify in favor of an anti-trans bill. Mm-hmm. But as he was in the green room before he actually came out to testify, he started talking to people. And when he came out, he said, he's like a 70-something year old man, you know, looking like my grandpa from Fond du Lac. And he said, I don't want to waste your time. I just, you know, I came here for this one reason, but after I had these conversations, I changed my mind. And it was one of the most powerful,
beautiful things. Going back to having a conversation, knowing and finding out.
It's the conversations.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing that we all can do is talk to each other on the grassroots level, our neighbors and our friends, and just invite a conversation. You might find out something new. About the people in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we make change.
Exactly. And you are working so hard right now to make some big, beautiful change that might not happen right away. We don't think it will. But down the road, Sean, when you're involved too.
Absolutely.
And we all have lots of change that we get to make right here in our community every single day.
Yeah. If people can't change, what's the point? I mean, with politics. But people can change. That's why we run for office. That is why we introduce these bills. Good things can happen. Progress, it might be slow, but it never, ever, ever stops.
That's right. We didn't even get to get into your history.
I was thinking about that. You said Larry. I was like, I could see a nice segue to talk about my story. I think maybe we'll have to come back.
I would love that. Let's do that again. Especially as momentum grows, we know that this bill, if it doesn't have traction this time, we know that it's going to come back again. So there will be plenty of opportunities for this and so much more. I truly cannot thank the both of you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Sean Grorich. From Sturgeon Bay, owner of Pinky Promise Coffee, I should mention. Give me a little plug.
Thank you.
Yep, running for State Senate in Senate District 1. Ryan Spouty, Assembly District 89, our representative. Friends, it's me, Dr. Kristen Lairley. I want to hear from you. Send me your ideas for topics, guests, music, you name it. This is our conversation, and we can talk about whatever we want. And you can catch Traveling Suitcase at Mile of Music and all over Northeast Wisconsin this summer. We will see you next time on WISS and WGBW and the Civic Media app. Woo!
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. An emergency meeting of the UN Security Council this afternoon, in which a UN official worried about the effects of the U.S. attacks on Iran and called for a diplomatic solution.
The Middle East cannot afford yet another violent conflict where civilians pay the price of military confrontations.
In a show of unity, leaders of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom stressed diplomatic solutions and ongoing support for Israel's security. Mideast governments issuing nervous statements. Oman condemning the attacks is illegal. Reaction in Congress is mixed. Republican leaders are solidly behind President Trump. ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
U.S. authorities have also been focused on whether Iran has operatives within the United States who could commit acts of terror. In recent years, DOJ has prosecuted a number of operatives allegedly acting at the direction of Iranian officials, including some plotting acts of violence.
This is ABC News.